Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, April 14th. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis's downtown has struggled for years to regain vibrancy after major properties have fallen vacant. There has been progress in the past year, but it'll take time for a full rebound.
The most important thing, I think, is building momentum. You have wins, recognizable steps forward.
St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmidt examines how the region's downtown can come back after years of decline. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. An Illinois bill that would bar schools from using Native American names, logos, and mascots has passed the state's House of Representatives. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports that could affect 11 Metro East schools.
The Collinsville Cayhawks, Muscoota Indians, and Cahokia Comanches are some of the 11 schools that could be required to change. The bill passed by a 71-40 vote in the House. The Belleville News Democrat reports all Metro East state representatives in both parties voted against the measure. An amendment does allow for schools to use the name of a tribe if the tribe gives the school permission. In statements, the superintendents in Muscoota and Collinsville say their mascots are a source of pride in their communities. They have approval from Native American organizations, and the changes could be costly. The bill now heads to the Illinois Senate. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois is among 17 states that are suing the Trump administration for cutting off remaining COVID relief dollars for school districts. The Illinois State Board of Education says the Education Department has revoked the approval needed to spend $77 million in pandemic relief money in state schools. This money was slated to be spent at 27 school districts on services including transportation for homeless children, technology for students with disabilities, and tutoring help with learning loss. IBSC says this could cause services to be terminated. Officials say Illinois has the option to apply to get the federal approval reinstated, but say it's burdensome for grantees and still leaves services at risk. Illinois lawmakers have passed a much-debated gun bill out of the Senate. The legislation would require gun owners to store their firearms securely so they're not accessible to minors or people banned from having guns. The Illinois State Police would have to revoke a person's firearm owner ID card if they failed to report a gun stolen within 48 hours. Democrat State Senator Laura Ellman is sponsoring the bill.
The additional burden on the gun owner is minimal. The time runs from when the owner becomes aware the gun was lost or stolen. All they need to do is pick up the phone, call the police to report the theft or the loss.
Owners would also have to pay a $1,000 fine if someone, like a minor or at-risk person, gets their gun. That fine increases to $10,000 if their gun is obtained and then used in a crime or causes someone's death. The measure now heads to the House. It's been about 9 months since Sonya Massey was fatally shot in her Springfield home. In the past week, Illinois lawmakers have passed two reforms in her honor out of the Senate. Mawa Iqbal reports.
One bill would create a roadmap for countywide officials in Springfield to be recalled through a ballot measure in the 2026 election. The other would bar law enforcement agencies from making hires without combing through previous employment records. Democratic Senator Doris Turner of Springfield has taken on the mantle of passing police reforms.
When this tragedy first happened, all of my colleagues reached out to offer their sympathy, offer their condolences, and to literally say, what can we do?
36-year-old Massey was shot by former Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson after she called 911 for help. The bills now head to the House. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
An outgoing St. Louis alderman says some of the changes at the board over the last few years may not be for the best. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has more from Joe Vollmer's reflections on 22 years in office.
The number of aldermen at the board went from 28 to 14 in 2023. Its members also changed the rules, so internal leadership positions are elected rather than based on seniority. Vollmer says fewer aldermen means committees are being less thorough in their work, and he says basing leadership on seniority means a broader range of perspectives are represented.
What happens is if there's an election, you have people who see this person and that person getting in there, so this agenda can be brought to light. as opposed to, this is the person I have to work with.
Vollmer was a guest on the Politically Speaking podcast. He represented The Hill and other parts of South St. Louis. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Tomorrow is the deadline to file federal and state taxes, and resources are still available to send them off on time. Hundreds of volunteers with the United Way of Greater St. Louis have helped thousands of local households this season. Linda Harris is the organization's vice president of impact strategies, and she says Tax Day is a good opportunity for people to take stock of their overall financial situation, even if they've already filed.
Saving money for emergency funds or for long-term investment, just on a level set, future forecasting for things that you know may be coming down the pipeline.
Anyone who needs a little extra time can also file for an extension before tomorrow. You can find links to more local resources on our website, stlpr.org. St. Louis's reputation was rattled a year ago when the Wall Street Journal described the region's downtown as a, quote, real estate nightmare. A year later, the city has made strides, starting with tackling two prominent vacant properties. But St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports a full rebound will take many more years of sustained effort by civic and business leaders across the region and state.
In some ways, the Wall Street Journal's reporting may have been the shock that leaders in St. Louis needed.
Is this thing working? Good morning.
Back in May last year, St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones issued a challenge to tackle two of the city's most visible reminders of the vacancy issues in its core.
Specifically, I asked Greater St. Louis and SLDC to deliver a plan for bold action to address the Railway Exchange Building and the Millennium Hotel.
The situation today feels less dire. The Gateway Arch Park Foundation is under contract to purchase the Millennium Hotel and has selected a redeveloper for the site. And the city is using eminent domain to tackle the Railway Exchange Building, paying $2.6 million to seize its adjoining parking garage and surface lot. SLDC President and CEO Neil Richardson says the city's building division can now move forward to demolish the derelict structure.
And the reason why we're taking immediate action on this site is because it's been left in such disarray that is creating public harm to our community.
Richardson says SLDC will solicit redevelopment proposals in the coming months for the two city blocks that Railway Exchange and its adjoining parking structure occupied. These are real steps forward, but it will likely take many more years to fundamentally alter the trajectory of the region's downtown. Hank Weber is the managing principal of Urban Impact Advisors, who has studied how other industrial cities like St. Louis have rebounded.
The most important thing, I think, is building momentum.
How do you do that?
You have wins. Recognizable steps forward.
Weber says he sees momentum growing around Energizer Park in the downtown West neighborhood. It joins a collection of places that naturally draw people downtown: the Arch Grounds, Busch Stadium, Union Station, and others.
But these are far apart,
with sparse retail, restaurants, or other options along the blocks in between.
There's less activity because there's less opportunity for activity.
Charles Bryson is a policy catalyst for TrailNet and has lived or worked downtown for more than 20 years. He says the area's past emphasis on office workers and current office vacancies make it harder to establish an identity outside of the 9-to-5 Monday through Friday schedule.
Because downtown always started out as a non-resident process. When it started to become a neighborhood, meaning there are a lot of residents here, I don't think the planning caught up with it.
But some aren't willing to wait, like Alex Oliver, who owns and founded Oliver Properties. His firm has already amassed 5 mixed-use apartment buildings along the Washington Avenue corridor and is managing to turn around their performance.
I'm not patient enough to wait for the market to turn. We're going to force the turn to happen on our own.
He says his strategy is intentional, going after historic industrial buildings already converted to apartments and bringing in better management and more building-wide amenities for residents.
This is our cool spa room that we built. So we added a cold plunge and a UV sauna. To this space.
And it appears to be working. 15 months after acquiring and renovating the 6-court apartments, the building is over 90% leased. Oliver says his acquisitions also mean a single owner of more first-floor retail spaces along an urban corridor that didn't have that in the past.
Imagine a suburban shopping center that's owned by 27 different people. You're going to end up with really kind of an odd tenant mix when it comes to the retailers in the place, and that's what we have currently on Wash Ave.
He admits Wash Ave is in a naturally better position for renewed vibrancy compared to other streets because of how it was built. But Oliver says its early success can spread if more developers take on other underperforming building types and make downtown really embody the mixed-use neighborhood he contends it already is. I'm Eric Schmidt, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.